Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Well, thank you for joining me for part 7 of our study of angels. We've entitled Angels, Agents of God, Agents of Good. And yes, they can be angels of good in our life. Today we want to talk about angels, no problem, because they are the problem solvers, the special forces, the first responders. And we talked earlier about they are the pre-responders because they're already there to help us. And we're going to see all of that in play in a story that we look at in Acts chapter 12. If you're following along with the Bible, I would encourage you to be already at Acts 12 for our study today. But I want to think back of a phrase that was delivered by an angel to Mary. We usually think about this at Christmas time as we're going through this part of the story. But in Luke chapter 1, an angel appears to Mary and tells her that she is going to conceive and bear a son. He's going to be the Savior of the world, the one who's going to sit on the throne of David. All these great messianic promises from the Old Testament are going to be fulfilled in this one that she is going to bear. Well, she's startled by that, and rightfully she asks the question, how can this be since I've not been with a man? She's a virgin. And we all understand that's a basic reality of humanity. It takes a mother and a father for us to get here. And she was the mother, but how's this going to work? Well, the angel explains to her that even though he doesn't explain in a way that probably she can understand, but at least in terms that makes some level of sense, that it's going to be through the Holy Spirit that this conception takes place. With that in mind, the Spirit is going to come upon her, she's going to conceive. And then he concludes his message with here's an angelically delivered message, not only to her, but to us, because it says something about God. Luke chapter 1, verse 37, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." Get that fast in your mind. With God, nothing will be impossible. And we're going to let that echo back several times in our message today. And we're going to see that in display in the life of Peter. And just remember, this is true for Mary. It's true for Peter. It's true for the apostles, the people we read about in the pages of Scripture. And it's true for you if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's the same God, the same person, the same love, the same interest. And with God, nothing is impossible. So let's get unstuck in our thinking about the things we're stuck in. And there's all sorts of venues of life that we could be stuck in, believing it's never going to change. We lose hope. We give up. With God, nothing, absolutely nothing is impossible. Let's go to Acts chapter 12 and an interesting story. Now, just to kind of set it up, we're actually going to begin in verse 4, but I want you to just kind of get the scene, and you're just going to find out how seemingly impossible this situation was. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, "Now at that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." This is James and John, okay? This is two of Jesus' disciples. He's the first of the 12 that was killed for his faith. And it says in verse 3, "And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter. Now it was during the days of the unleavened bread," which was the season that was around Passover time, the festival season. Verse 4, "So when he had arrested him and put him in prison, he delivered him to four squads of soldiers." So he was guarded around the clock by multiple soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. So at a certain time, after we get through the Passover celebration, he's going to bring him out, and he's going to publicly humiliate Peter, going to execute him. It's all going to be over. And the story in chapter 4 opens with Peter in prison. In verse 4 it says, "Was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church." He was kept in prison, but they were praying for him. By the way, always the right thing to do. We talked in one of our earlier sessions in this series, when we talked about angelic warfare, that is the reality, that the way we connect, interact with God is through prayer. God will do what he needs to do. The angels are doing what they are supposed to do. God is working it all out according to his will. How do we interact with it? We pray. We enter in prayer. So they're praying for him. And it says in verse 6, and when Peter was about to, when Herod was about to bring him out that night, so this is the night before he gets it, okay? All right, we understand. It's urgent now. And the people are staying up this night praying, and they're praying for him. And you can imagine what they're praying. Lord, deliver him. Lord, protect him. Lord, change Herod's mind. And they're praying for all in faith and praying rightly. We'll see something about their expectation in just a little bit. Verse 6 again. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guard before the door were keeping the prison. So basically, there were guards at the door. There was guards on either side of him, chain on him, chain on that soldier. Okay, so it looks hopeless. It looks really hopeless. And let me just say it this way. It looks like there's no one going to come to rescue him. The people are praying. They're not getting on their swords and shields and going to have a rescue mission. They're not. There's no one you could appeal to. Herod's the highest authority from that appointed. He was appointed by Rome, but you know, there's no one to appeal to. And especially these were non-Roman citizens, so Herod could do whatever he wanted. Roman citizens had some right to appeal, but these Jewish people did not. So it seems like there's this place where no help. But here's what I want to share with you. When it seems like there's no help, it is no problem. Why? Because with God, nothing is impossible. So you feel like no help? You're like, where can I find help? There's no one to help me. There's nothing to get me through. I feel all alone. I feel just like there's nothing gonna come up. And it's interesting. Peter apparently doesn't feel that way. He's not overcome with emotion because he's sleeping. Might as well get a good night of sleep. Nothing else going on here. And we'll see what the morning brings. But it seems like he has some inner peace. And that's the kind of inner peace God wants to give us, even when it seems like there is no help. And maybe he's just thinking about, well, tomorrow I get to be with the Lord Jesus. Tomorrow I get to be in heaven. Tomorrow I'm done. I've finished this life and now I'm with the Lord. Maybe there was some really great expectation along those lines. But regardless of what he was feeling, he is sleeping. But God's about to do something remarkable with just one angel. The soldiers outnumber the angels in this story, but when an angel shows up, the odds always turn, okay? So it seems like there's no ability to get out of this. But think about this for just a moment. It's all determined whatever God wills. You might think, well, Peter's about ready to be rescued. James was not rescued. Is that fair? Is that right? Well, here's the reality. God could easily rescue James as well as Peter, but James had completed his job, his mission. We talked about that a believer is invincible. And as far as if they're in God's will, a believer is invincible until God is through with them. He's obviously through with James. It wasn't a question of ability. It was a question of God's will. And that's where we need to land. Lord, you can save me, you can spare me, you could heal me, you could change this situation, you could provide me more funds and more resources, you could do all these things for me. I ask that you do. I believe that you can, and that's where faith enters in. It's never a question of God's ability, but it's simply our submitting to his will. But we say, as Jesus said in that garden prayer, Lord, not my will, but yours indeed be done. With that in mind, we submit to the Lord's will, and like Peter, we could lay down and just have a good night of sleep. We can have peace because we understand that it's all in God's hands, and that's where Peter was. But when it seems like there's no help, it's no problem because God has resources, including angels, being part of that package, if you will, of what's available to us, part of that package to come and help us. So think about that. So what do we do? We need to pray for the impossible and then submit to his will. Pray for the impossible, then submit to his will. With that in mind, we just go forward in faith. Okay, let's get back to our story and see the next part of the situation. Verse 7. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. Now think about that. By the way, if you're studying angels, always note their entrances and their exits. If there's any question whether it's an angel, now the angel specifically mentioned in this text, it's an angel. Any question, their entrance and exits will give you a clue because there's motion, but most often they just suddenly are there. It stood by him. There he was there. And I suggest to you that Peter didn't see him because we don't see in that spiritual realm unless God opens that portal for us to see. And suddenly there he was. Now he's still sleeping, but he's just there. He didn't come in. It says he's there. That night Peter was sleeping, bound with these guards, doors all locked. Verse 7, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and light shone in the prison. That's the second kind of thing that always shows up. Entrances and exits are interesting, and light and their light-colored garment, white, brilliant light, sometimes described as lightning-like, shining, glowing, all those kind of realities. So suddenly there's light there, and we've already talked earlier in our series that it seems likely that the light that angels emit is because they have been in the unveiled presence of God, who gives off this glory, this shine, this magnificent light of His presence. And they kind of rebroadcast that, re-emanate that, if you will. So now look what it says. Light shone around in the prison, and He struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and the chains fell off his hands. You know, up to this point, he's laying there, chains, guards at the door, no help. It looked like this, and see if you ever feel like this. You ever feel like there's no chance? Whenever there's no chance, with God, it is no problem. Why? Because with God, nothing will be impossible. That's what He said through the words of an angel to Mary. That's what He says to us, and that's what you see in this story. Angel, and I love this. It's kind of almost humorous. Suddenly this angel's there, and he kind of pokes him in the side. "Wake up, wake up, wake up." Wakes up, and he says he causes him to get up, and he kind of helps him on his feet, and he says, raise him up, saying, "Arise quickly, get up. Come on, we got a job to do." There seems to be a little bit of urgency there. "Rise quickly." And then this amazing thing, the chains just fell off. Well, they don't just fall off automatically. They don't just fall. And I take it that this is just a disruption of the laws of nature, the laws of physics, the laws of space, time, and matter. Because God operates in a realm beyond that, in the spiritual realm. That's why miraculous things take place, because God is not locked into the limitations of this universe. And they just fall off. No chance for Peter? No problem. No chance for you? No problem. God wants us to come back and believe that. Sometimes we're always calculating the odds. What's the odds of getting out of this? What's my chances? What's the likelihood? And, you know, we're giving it a thumbs down or a thumbs up or maybe a thumb sideways sometimes. But how's this going to turn out? Well, rather than calculating the odds, just believe this. Just say this to yourself. Believe it. Take it as at face value that with God, nothing is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Now, does that mean God's going to rescue everyone in prison? Obviously not. James didn't. It's submission to His will, but we believe in His ability, and then we leave the rest to Him. And this story is in the Bible for many reasons, but one of the reasons is just to reassure us that God can take care of His own, even when it seems like the odds are off the charts against us, but He can save us. So, no chance, no problem. Let's move on. Verse 8. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." I love it. I love that part. And he did so. And he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." And so he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Okay. So when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate, which leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and down one street, and immediately the angel departed from them. Again, that's the angel departure. Always entering. Said, "Go on. Where'd he go? Where'd he go?" Suddenly gone, because it's just that portal into the spiritual realm where angels are operating suddenly is closed, and we're back to what we normally experience. Don't you think about this? You know, how was Peter going to get out of prison? There was no plan. There was no strategy. There was no rescue party. And sometimes we are without a plan. Not that we shouldn't make plans, but sometimes there's just not a plan to be made. There's not a scenario that we can imagine or we can envision or we can chart out that's going to make any sense for us to get from where we are to where we would prefer to be and where we believe God wants us to be. So we'd say it this way: no plan, no problem. Why? Because with God, nothing will be impossible. Isn't that a great truth? No plan. No plan, no way out. There is a plan. It's no problem because God sends this angel to him and to rescue him. And I love how it talks about that. He says, gird yourself and tie on your sandals and put your garment on, your outer garments. Get dressed. It's sort of parental here, isn't it? You know, it's cold out there. Get your garment on. Get those sandals tied on. Get up. Let's go. Kind of guiding him and goading him and parenting him along. I love that. And it says something about the tenderness with which God sees us. You know, just something as simple as the details. Make sure you tie your shoes. Get your garment on. It's going to be cold. But to help us along the way, because He loves us that much. We talked last time in the last session about that we are lavishly loved. Don't lose sight of that, because we certainly are. Now, he goes through this. Notice it says, "Put on your garment and follow me." So when they went out and followed him, he did not know whether it was what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. Peter just thought, "Boy, this is a really good dream. I really like this. This can't be real, can it?" Well, because there's no scenario he could dream up, but no plan, no problem. Why? Because God can do the impossible, okay? So they quickly go out, and here's the amazing thing that's unstated in the story. This is as much a miracle as chains falling off and so forth, was none of the guards were aware of what was going on. Suddenly, somewhere down the road, maybe in the morning, where did he go? How did he get out? I take it they saw the chains laying there with them still locked. I assume they see the doors shut and locked. They saw nothing. And by the way, these soldiers were not sleeping. It wasn't they woke up and he was gone. They were required to stay awake under penalty of death when they were guarding a soldier. So they were wide awake, but they saw nothing because God closed their eyes to see that. That's a part of the miracle. And then I love this part that says they get to the outer gate. They went past the first and second guard posts, and there was guards there. Guards beside them didn't see anything. Guards at the doors didn't see anything. And it says they went to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord automatically. Automatically opening door. Unseen hand opens it. And I assume after he went out, it went closed and went locked, and Peter was gone. And then it says he accompanied him down one street, okay? Got you on your way. Got you pointed in the right direction. You know where to go. Gone. Just to do what we cannot do. No plan, no problem. Now, there's nothing wrong with making plans. I make them all the time. You make them all the time. I think God honors our desire to be strategic, and God loves it when we try to use our minds and hearts. But understand this. God makes the ultimate plan. And when he says no to our plans, he has a better plan. When God rearranges our plans, he has a better plan. When God does those sort of things. So we simply this. We plan in faith, but we trust in God to bring this out. Be ready for his plan all along the way. And don't be frustrated when your plans are interrupted. Sometimes it's a phone call, some other needs, you can't get it all done, you feel frustrated. And for many of us who are driven, task-driven, and we have things to do, we get really frustrated when things don't go our way. But submit to his plan and see his plan. Now, I love what happens next, okay? Verse 11, so when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the Jewish people. They thought they were going to watch an execution tomorrow. That was now called off. So when he considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. By the way, that's the John Mark we see later in Acts, and that's the Mark we know of that wrote the Gospel of Mark. So they're gathered at his house, probably just had a house big enough in Jerusalem. That might have been the same house where the upper room where the Last Supper took place. We don't know that for sure. So it says that where many were gathered together praying. Okay, they're gathered praying. And Peter knocked on the door of the gate, and it says, I love this, the door at the gate, and a girl named Rhoda came to answer. You know, here's the name, known only in this story, but what an interesting situation she's in. And when she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. She doesn't open. She runs back. I've got news to tell you. You got to love this reaction next. And they said to her, you are beside yourself. She kept insisting and that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. Now, here's these great people of faith. You know, we're praying. By the way, John's about ready to pray. He's still in mourning over losing his brother James, but now he's praying for Peter. Be quiet. But Peter's out here. I heard the knock. I heard his voice. I know it's him. Be quiet. You're out of your mind, girl. And then when she insists, they said, oh, no, it's his angel. Now, this is that expectation of, we looked at last session, of angels carrying us into glory. Oh, this is an angel showing up to take him. It's preparing for his death, or maybe he's already dead, assuming the worst. But you see, they had no expectation of rescue for Peter. But sometimes we live in that same vein. We don't expect anything. We assume the worst. We're negative. We're pessimistic. We don't live with a positive attitude. No expectation. If that's you today, let me assure you this. No expectation. No problem for God. Why? Because with God, nothing will be impossible. So you got some storm clouds of gloom descending over you, and everything looks bleak. Everything, you're seeing the world in black and white, and there's nothing to color it up with joy. Everything is just down. Everything's on a downward trajectory. Everything's just falling apart. Change that expectation. Why? Because with God, nothing is impossible. Let's go back to the story. Now, when Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him. They were like, oh. What had they been praying for all night long? Lord, spare Peter. They open the door. Peter's there, and they're like, oh, we can't believe it's here. I plead guilty to that, don't you? Haven't you been there? We're praying for something, and God does something remarkable, and we say, I'm so shocked. It's not because God isn't able. He can do anything. With God, nothing is impossible. It's not because God doesn't intervene in accordance with his will when he chooses to. We're submitted to his will. But we're shocked because we're not really living with that firm expectation. What we need to do is recall the past moments when God did the impossible. How about just saving us? That someone that was a sinner, lost, didn't know God, on her way to an eternal judgment waiting for us, that he loved us enough to save us. That's a miracle. And then you could think about thing after thing in your life where God just worked it all out. And you don't know maybe how you got from here to there. I have a number of those events in my own life that just, I never thought I'd get there. And God just took care of that. And he'll take care of you yet in the future. Why? Because nothing with God is impossible. No expectation, no problem. And then you come down to these verses where it says that they were shocked. And I don't fault them for being the way they were, but Peter's now going to inform them of what's going on. He continued knocking. When they opened the door, they were astonished. And he motioned to them with his hand to keep silent. He declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go and tell these things to James. Now, it's another James, obviously, the one earlier. The James here is the leader of the church in Jerusalem, the writer of the book of James, more than likely, and to the brethren. And he departed to another place. And then it talks about how the next day that it was found out he was gone. By the way, verses 20 through 24 tell us that it wasn't long after that that Herod met his own death. He couldn't kill Peter, but he died at the hand of God, judging him for his pride. You can read about that in those next few verses. But sometimes we're like the people hearing Peter talk about what happened. They had no clue. Sometimes we don't even know what to think anymore. We don't even know what to believe anymore. We don't know what to trust anymore. You're in one of those no clue moments. No clue, no problem. Why? Because with God, nothing will be impossible. Maybe you're just in one of those states of life where it just feels like your mind is in fast forward and stuck. Trust in Him. And you know, sometimes I feel bad that I don't have more faith when I approach things. I'm like the people in this story. Peter knocking, Peter's there, God's answering prayer, and like, I didn't see that one coming. They're astonished. But rather what we need to do is celebrate that not that we have sometimes lack of faith, but we have reason to have faith. We transfer the praise and the thoughts back on God, the God who can do the impossible. That's why it's important for us to gather and worship today. That's why it's important for us to be in God's Word, to be with God's people frequently, to just remind us, to just reprogram our minds and think in terms of the fact that indeed He can do all things. He can do the impossible. With God, nothing will be impossible. So I want you to think with me. God just wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to have trust in Him, that He is the great I Am of the Old Testament, that He can do anything. So we've talked about no help, no problem. No chance, no problem. No plan, that's no problem either. No expectation, that's no problem. No clue, that's no problem. Why? We go back to our verse. Because of this reality. For with God, nothing will be impossible. May God take that scripture into my heart deep and deep into your heart, and we would just react as people who believe that and act upon it in the give and take, the ups and downs, the twists and turns of our lives.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.